Well, good morning. Amen. It's good to see each and every one of you who are here this morning. And for those joining us online, it is a blessed time to come together. We are here to worship the Lord. Last day of February. And I think that's hard to believe. 2021 already seems like it's just flying by. But we want to slow down. We want to stop and take some time in this moment that, Jesus, we need our eyes fixed on you. And I pray that as we sing, as we worship together, as we get around God's word, that will be the result. So as we come together, it is a desire to connect with one another. And we do that in a lot of different ways. And so whether you're in the room or online, we do have a digital connect card. And so as we welcome you this morning, I just want to say, please share some information with us. And our promise is not to spam you, harass you, inundate you with things you don't want, but we want to begin that relationship, that connection. And whatever means God is going to give us, that's what we want to use. And so please go online to our website, fill that out for us, and we want to get to know you better and just build that relationship, see what God is going to do. God's not done yet. God's not done yet. And we know he's not done yet because Jesus hasn't come back. So that means we've still got things to do. So we want to continue to reach out and connect and make Jesus known. But I want to thank you for being here this morning and welcome you in our time together. Now, one thing I want to make sure is in a couple weeks, though, is that you come at the right time. Because if you're not aware, we are actually back to daylight savings change again. So March 14th, you're going to spring forward. So set your clocks an hour forward. I know technically it's like 2 in the morning. I never get that. I'm not getting up at 2 to change my clocks. But anyway, make sure you set it an hour ahead, and so you'll be on time that morning. But again, 10:15, we're going to be right here, so hopefully you won't miss that. But prior to 2 weeks, actually next Sunday, we're going to be doing the Lord's Supper. So looking forward to that. It's going to be a little bit different because we just want to continue to care for people, and we're going to do that safely. We won't pass the elements in the same way, but the elements will still be a part of what we do. And if you're joining us online, we want you to grab some crackers and some juice at home. It's not about what we're actually using. It's not about that juice, not about that wafer, that cracker. What it's about is Jesus. And it's just a representation. And so join us in whatever way you can, but hopefully next Sunday you can participate in that. Everything we're doing, though, is because we want to continue to remember what Jesus has done. Jesus is a giving God. And so we always want to continue to give back. And so we'll have some time in our service where we will focus on that. Thank God for the gifts and the things he has given us. But we'll take some time to honor him by saying, God, this is what we're giving back. It's a sacrifice, an offering to you. If you are here and physically want to do that, we've got the boxes in the back, also in the lobby. You can just drop your offering, your tithes in there. You can also do that online. So whether you're here or not, you can do that online. That's how I do mine. I do it when I get paid because I want to make sure the Lord gives me something, I give it right back. Because it's his, and I want my heart to be in the right place. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for being faithful. That's one of the things I can say about our people. Faithful. Faithful people. And I believe God honors and God will bless that. So thank you for being a part of that. Before we head into prayer, though, one of the things I want to remind you is we started last week kind of our kickoff, 40 days of prayer. And so hopefully you had a chance to grab one of those guides. They were being handed out as you came in. You can also grab it online. But we're not handing them out each week because it's actually the same guide for all 40 days. And so it says day 1 through day 7, but then what you're going to do is you're going to start over again. Day 1 of the second week, do the same thing. And part of that is we want to be so focused on these 7 things, so focused on unity and praying for the unity of our church, how we are a part of that unity within our leadership. So hopefully you got a guide. If you didn't, they're in the lobby underneath the TV. There's a guide. There's some prayer cards. There's a bookmark, things to encourage you and ways you can encourage other people as well. So hopefully you had a chance to grab one of those. But we want to continue to pray for each other. Call somebody up, send somebody a text. You can pray so many different ways. But when you say, I'm going to pray for you, don't wait to pray for them. Just do it right there. Do it right there. You can do it in the grocery store. You can do it over the phone. You can do it anywhere. Let's pray. Let's be a people of prayer. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and go before the Lord in prayer. And if you have a prayer request, please share that with us. We want to encourage you and pray with you, pray for you. And if you have something private in our prayer form, you can mark that, and we will just keep that in the office. But thank you for being here. And let's, as we enter into worship, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, I just thank you for being good and faithful. I thank you for how much you have loved us. Lord, we don't deserve it. We really don't. We haven't done anything that is worthy of your love. But you love us not because of who we are. You love us because of who you are. And so, God, we just thank you for that. And so as we come before you in worship today, we just ask right now that you would calm our hearts, calm our minds, because we know we came in and there are things we're thinking about, things we're concerned with, things, honestly, we may be worrying about. And I just ask that you would help us to lay it at your feet. Help us to just turn our eyes towards you, Jesus. Remember how much you have loved us and that we have so much because you have given so much. So thank you for this time. Lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, we are excited to be able to worship with you. Would you stand and join us as we sing? We're going to sing the song, God So Loved. So wherever you're at, if you're here or online, or if you're got emotional things that are worrying you or you're anxious about, we can lay those things down at the foot of the cross. So let's sing the song together, God So Loved.
Bring your addictions, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy, come to the table, he will satisfy. Drink of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so
seek you. I thirst for you. My body faints for you in a land that is dry, desolate, and without water. So I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your strength and your glory. My lips will glorify you because your faithful love is better than life. So I will bless you as long as I live at your name. I will lift up my hands. You will satisfy me as with rich food. My mouth will praise you. Joyful lips.
Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide.
God, we thank you that you are so good. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your son to die for us. And Jesus, as we've asked you to be our Lord, to be the King of our heart, Lord, we confess that we've fallen short of letting you do that, Lord, because we want to hold on to things. And so, Lord, we ask right now that you increase our faith, Lord, because we know that you are never going to let us down. And so, Lord, we know that in this world there's going to be trials and things that are just going to seem like we can't understand them. But God, we know that you will reconcile those things. You will redeem them because you have overcome. Church, sing this with me. You're never going to let me down.
Thank you for being a good and giving and faithful God. And Father, I pray that you would turn our hearts to you, that we would surrender. Jesus, you would be the King of our hearts. And I pray that would be in every area of our lives. Lord, even just now as we want to give back to you a portion of what you have given to us, but Father, it would be more than just our finances, Lord. It would be our hearts. Be the reminder that Jesus, everything belongs to you. And when we have things in the right way, when Jesus, you're the King of our heart, Lord, everything else will be in its proper place. And so we just ask that you take this, you multiply it, you bless it. And Jesus, as we sing, as we lift up our hands to you, that you would be pleased and honored. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Still, there is a healer. His love is deeper than the sea. His mercy is unfailing. His arms a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise.
Everybody hear me? Okay, there we go. My name is Sequoia. I've been going here for almost three years, maybe longer than that. I don't know. So when you see me around, you'll probably see me serving in the in children's ministry or women's Bible study. If you come to that, you'll see me. And then we have a small group that you'll see me there as well. So today we're going to be reading out of 1 Corinthians, but it's going to be chapter 1, verse 10 through 17. So if you have your Bibles or your Bibles app, can you please stand and for the reading of God's word? Starting with verse 10, it says, "I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is, each one of you says, 'I follow Paul,' or 'I follow Apollos,' or 'I follow Cephas,' or 'I follow Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none of you except for Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." May God bless the reading of his word.
Seated. Thank you, Sequoia. Amen. Appreciate that. Well, this morning, as Sequoia was reading from 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote this letter to this church, and we're going to be digging into this a little bit more, but there were definitely a lot of things going on in this church, a lot of things happening. And one of the things, unfortunately, that was going on in the Corinthian church is there were quarrels. There were quarrels happening. And basically, the word that Paul used there, what he's describing is there was strife. There was conflict. Heated. I mean, this was reaching a point where, in the term he described, it would be heated, often violent dissension. And so basically, we can say there were just fights going on in this church. There were just fights going on. And I wish we could say that probably fights are kind of unknown to us, but I think we'd be lying. I think we'd be lying if we tried to say that. Now, just out of curiosity, anybody ever been in a fist fight? All right, so I think some people are like, so I think some of you are being honest. I think some of you might be lying. But I have to be honest. I've been in a few, and I will never forget. The first one I ever had was in third grade. I was in third grade, and it was with a kid named Chris, And Chris lived on my block, so on the same street. We were in the same grade, same school, and all this stuff. And on this day, I was riding my bike, and actually I was riding my mom's bike. And so if you kind of remember, so understand, this is in the 80s, a 10-speed bike at that time, there was a distinction between men's and women's. If you kind of remember the structure, kind of the way the bars went, you could tell if it was a man's bike or a woman's bike. And so he took this as an opportunity that it was clear I was riding a girl's bike to tease me about that and call me a sissy and all sorts of things because I'm riding a girl's bike. And so obviously I'm not liking that. But then he starts kicking the bike. And so you can understand within me, I'm getting upset. And so I can't say I understand fully what happened in that moment, but I just dropped the bike in the street, dropped the bike, and I was like, dude, I'm coming at you. And so I wish it probably looked this cool, but I don't think it was, because in my head, I wanted it to be like a boxing match, you know, like two boxers just kind of dancing around each other. But all I know is there was just a moment where it seemed like everything froze, and he stopped right in front of me, and I just swung as hard as I could, and I caught him right in the jaw. And I'd like to be nice and say, oh, man, I felt bad. No, I felt good. Oh my gosh, that felt so good, man. He just dropped, and I was like, yeah, man. But one of the things as I reflect back and look at that situation in that moment, Chris was all I was focused on. All I was focused on was him and what he was doing to me. And see, what often happens in moments and when we get into fights is we begin to lose sight of what's really going on. I don't think we should ever excuse bad behavior. I think bad behavior should be addressed. It should be called out. But there is a statement that I believe is true is that often hurting people hurt people. And that doesn't make bad behavior okay, but I think it might help us to understand that when someone's hurt, they often hurt others. And see, what ends up happening is we lose sight of what the fight is really about. And see, I think when it comes to unity and it comes to the church and being one, we are in a fight. But what we've got to remember is in order to be one, we've got to fight the right fight. We've got to fight the right fight. And so as we're going to dig into 1 Corinthians and what Paul was saying to this church, let's go before the Lord and let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this writing, Lord, because I think as we specifically look at this book and so many in the New Testament, being the church, this ought to give us some hope. Because, Lord, we can see it's not perfect. It's not perfect in any way. And so, Father, I just pray that you would move right now. Holy Spirit, please speak to us. Please give us ears to hear. Give us hearts that are open, minds that are willing to consider what you might be saying to us about the fight that we're in. And Jesus, please help us to fight the right fight. And so guide and move as only you can, Lord. And I pray that this time would be pleasing to you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we dig into 1 Corinthians 1 and what Squasia read for us, I think it's important that we get some background because the city of Corinth is a unique place. It's a very unique place. I mean, there's a lot of things that are happening there. This church was actually established in Paul's second missionary journey. And if you want to read into that a little further, I would encourage you to look at Acts 18. Take a look at Acts 18, and you'll find some good things in there about this. But the city of Corinth is a commercial center. It's a city that's very popular. There's a lot happening in Roman law, Roman culture. There's a lot going on in this city and Greek philosophy as well. So a lot of things are happening, but unfortunately, there are a lot of issues as well. And some of these issues are sexual immorality. There's division. There's people getting drunk. We've got legal disputes. There are so many things that are happening in this city. And the people have a lot of questions they're asking. And so part of Paul's writing is to answer some questions. So they've got issues, they've got questions. This church is just a mix of people. And so you've got questions about marriage, questions about eating food sacrificed to idols. You've got questions about spiritual gifts and the resurrection. And so the simplest way I can say in a description of the church at Corinth, it's a hot mess. It's a hot mess. And to be honest, I think that should give us some hope. I think when we read this, we go, okay, all right. We're not the only ones that have things going on. This church does as well. But see, one of the things we need to remember about the church is not about keeping the mess out. It's not about keeping the mess out. And I think that's part of the uncomfortable thing is because what the church is intended to do is the mess needs to come in so Jesus can clean. The mess has got to come inside the church so that Jesus can do the cleaning up. And part of what keeps people out is we act like we don't have any more mess. We act like we've got it all figured out. And the fact is, we absolutely do not. And I think some of the worry is almost like, oh no, we're going to catch somebody's mess. They came in with this problem, we might catch it. Which that doesn't make sense because one, you came in with your own mess today. And that's pride on our part if we think we didn't. Because we absolutely did, each and every one of us. And so as we read 1 Corinthians, as we read the New Testament, almost all of the letters that Paul wrote, he mentions unity. He mentions division. Because the church is not unique. Corinth is not unique. We are not unique to struggle with this. We're not unique in this in any way. Even the 12 disciples had a problem. I don't know if you remember that story where James and John, mom comes in and talks to Jesus. When your mom shows up, that's not a good thing. Okay, mom comes in and says, hey, can my son sit at your right and left hand? What do you think the other 10 were thinking? Okay, they weren't happy about that. Okay, so it was happening in the 12. It happens. But the question is, how do we handle it? The question is, how do we engage in this fight and make sure we're fighting the right fight? Well, this morning, if you're a note taker, I want to give you two things. Two things that I think are important to help us in where our focus needs to be. And the first thing is this. Our focus needs to be on the real enemy. Our focus needs to be on the real enemy. And see, Paul, I think honestly, and there's places where I wonder if he felt this, he really could have just ripped into the Corinthians. And I'm sure you have felt that way sometimes where you just kind of want to lay into somebody. What is wrong with you? What is going on in your life? Why are you acting this way? But you know what? He doesn't. Take a look back at verse 10. Verse 10 where he begins, he says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters. See, Paul still is showing love. He still shows love. He's describing them as family. And see, that's not hard for us to think about our family a little bit, and we can go, oh yeah, I know that person in my family. Mm-hmm. The people in our family that kind of push us to the edge, test us a little bit, and we just want to throttle them sometimes. But see, at the end of the day, they're still family. And there's a connection there, and Paul is trying to say, brothers and sisters. But see, part of what we need to understand in this is those who are the family that Paul is referring to are those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the family Paul's talking about. This isn't a blood family. At least not our blood. It's a family that was purchased with Jesus' blood. And that's who he's referring to. Because see, we are all God's creation. We are not all God's children. And Scripture is very clear on that. To be called a child of God, a son or a daughter, means you have come to understand that you needed Jesus. You needed what Jesus did on the cross. You are a sinner in need of a Savior. And you have cried out and said, Jesus, I need you. I mean, I think that song that we sang, the King of my heart, we're realizing we have tried to be the king. We have tried to be the one in charge. And it doesn't work. We need the real king, King Jesus, to be the king of our hearts. And we surrender. And so Paul and his appeal is to family, but it's the family of God. And see, what's unique about this family is it's Gentiles, it's Jews, it's a mix, it's a melting pot. That's what the Church of Corinth, this city, is all about. But he's appealing to them out of love, saying, you're brothers and sisters. And part of what he's trying to say is, you are not the enemy. You are not the enemy. So stop treating each other like the enemy. You are family. And the real enemy is clear. The real enemy is the one we call Satan. The one we call the devil, the one we call the deceiver, that is the real enemy. And Peter wrote about him in 1 Peter chapter 5. And this may be a verse that many of you know, but it says in verse 8, stay alert. 1 Peter 5, 8, it says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And see, that's the part I think a lot of us may be familiar with, of who the enemy is. But notice what it continues on in verse 9. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. As a family, you're not the only one who's dealing with this deceiver, this one who is coming at you like a roaring lion. The whole family of faith, the family of God, is dealing with this enemy. But you need to be focused on the real enemy. And guess what? We aren't it. We are not it. We are in a battle, a spiritual battle that we cannot see. And often what happens is we begin to focus on who we can. And we act like the one we can see in front of us, the one we have an issue with, that's the enemy. And they aren't. But it's so easy for us to get focused on. What's interesting is Paul mentioned some names in verse 11 that might be easy for us to focus on, might have been easy for the church of Corinth. It says, for some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. Some of the people in Chloe's household, what Paul's saying, they told on you. And we know the phrase, snitches get stitches. You know that one. But no, what Paul is saying, no, these are brothers and sisters, and actually this is a very loving act that they have brought this out in the open. But see, truth and unity go together. Truth and unity go together. We do not have unity at the expense of truth. And what Chloe's household, whoever that was in her household that let Paul know about what was going on, that was actually a very good and loving thing to do. You see, what can happen is often is things kind of hide in the shadows. Things kind of hide under the surface. And it ends up in the dark place. It ends up in the gossip sessions where we gripe and complain. And instead of dealing with the real issues, we actually make things worse. And I unfortunately have sat in moments in meetings where people try to bring something up and it can often get shut down by others because people don't want to hear it. Let's pretend everything is okay. See, the fact is, we should remember, because we need Jesus, everything is not okay. If everything was okay, why would we need Jesus? And that hasn't changed. And so it is a good thing of what Chloe's household did, and they brought this out in the open to help people understand the real enemy is not each other, and we've got to stop fighting one another. And see, unfortunately, the real enemy, who is Satan, can work through many different people. And I hate to say it, can even work through believers. And see, often what can happen is in the church, you can develop bullies. In the church, you can develop a power struggle. And see, that's not okay. It needs to be called out. And see, the root cause of a lot of things comes down to we're not getting our way. We're not getting our way. And I think when you say that, it sounds simple, or it may sound like, well, why don't we just let go of that? But we don't. And see, the word we have to understand is the word preference. We have preferences, and we all have them. And there are places and times and things we do where to move in that way is all right. If you have a preference for a color and you like wearing it, great, do that. But see, we've got to understand, while Satan is the real enemy, there's somebody else who is the real leader. And when it comes to church, it's not you and I. And so we've got to understand that we become part of what Satan wants to use by allowing preference, allowing the way we think things should be or the way things were. And see, honestly, as we were praying up here, the worship team, before we started this morning, part of my prayer was that when we leave this building, we leave different. That we came in one way, but I pray we leave different. And see, Jesus didn't die just for you to have salvation. He didn't die just for you to one day end up in eternity. He died also that you would become more like him, that you would continue to be changed. But see, often what happens is we come to know Jesus and then we want things to stay right here. It's good enough. I see, one of my favorite verses, and this isn't on the screen, but one of my favorite verses is Ephesians 3:20. It says, now glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within you. And this is my favorite part. To accomplish infinitely more than you might ask or think. So when you're thinking that this is good and we like the way things are, Jesus is saying, no, I've got even more for you, more that you can't even imagine. And this is why we get so focused on preference and the way things are. And this is part of why we want to keep the mess out, is because we want it to stay. And see, when the mess comes in the room, what that also means is we're confronted with other people's messiness, but in some ways it also reminds us of our own. And we don't want to remember that. And see, James is pretty clear. The one who looks in the mirror and sees the issues, but then walks away and doesn't do anything about them, you're a fool. And I don't know about you, I don't want to be a fool. I tell you, there are too many days where I'm reminded of how broken I am. And sometimes I go, God, could I just have a little less of that? But God's like, no, son, I love you, and I want you to be like me. All right. And we surrender. We surrender. But see, that's what Satan is trying to do, is he wants to get us focused on something else. He wants to get us focused on anything but him. Because when we get focused on him, then we understand where the fight is. And we understand how to begin to work through it. But not only do we need to focus on the real enemy, the second thing is this. We also need to focus on the right leader. We need to focus on the right leader. And in verses 12 through 17, Paul goes after this. And specifically verse 12, he says, some of you are saying, I'm a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I follow Apollos, or I follow Peter, or I follow only Christ. And see, what's happening is there's a focus now on personality. There's a focus now on people. And there is a natural human tendency that we focus on human leaders. There's just a natural bent that we have. We want to follow somebody we can see. But it can also be very dangerous, because what often happens is we start to emphasize the messenger and not the message. The message is the most important thing. But not only does that create problems amongst the people, it actually creates competition amongst the leaders. And Paul came back to this in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, beginning in verse 5. He went a little deeper into this. He says, after all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters will work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own good work. Paul's saying, yeah, we did work. Apollos did some stuff. I did some stuff. And God's going to deal with us on that. But really, God's the one who makes it happen. God gives us the gift and the privilege of being used and being a part of what he does. But Jesus doesn't need us. And that's part of the humility, and that's part of also the brokenness to understand, Lord, you use us. You don't need us. You give us the gift and the privilege of being a part of what you're up to. And see, where this led these groups to is pride. Well, I follow Apollos. I'm following Paul. That's pride. That's where they ended up. Paul even said in verse 13, has Christ been divided into factions? He was trying to say, and literally, has Christ's body been separated? You got an arm, you got an arm, you got a leg, you got the torso? Which the answer to that is no. Jesus appeared in full human form. Jesus has not been divided. He is whole. He is resurrected. And so what are we doing in trying to separate? And see, again, we get focused on the real enemy and missing the right leader. And that's even happened in our time because we have division. We're creating parties within the church. And unfortunately, we've seen that even fall along political lines. No matter what you may think, not everybody in the church is Republican. Not everybody in the church is a Democrat, whichever side you're on. And I'm just telling you, that's the truth. But see, what we need to remember, it's not about those two parties, it's about Jesus. And no matter what you think about those two parties, that's secondary. Jesus is first. And we've got to keep it that way. Because that's exactly what our real enemy wants us to get focused on. And Paul is saying, don't get focused on the wrong thing. Focus on the right leader, who is Jesus. And we've got to be so careful today, because online has just exploded our access to information, which is fantastic on one hand. You can watch almost any preacher you want. You can listen to podcasts. You can listen to all the worship you want. But see, part of the problem too is then you can walk into your own family of church and faith, and then you can start to criticize. Oh man, I wish they were kind of like that worship team. Man, I wish he preached like that preacher preaches. We can start to do that. Even as a preacher, I can look at other preachers and go, man, he sounds really good. I wish I sounded like him. And what begins to happen is we rob ourselves and we rob God. Because God made us who we are. But see, if you're going to listen to other things, which I'm not saying don't do that, our main question is this: is Jesus being preached? Are the songs that are being sung, is it about Jesus? If those two questions are answered, praise God. Because we need to be focused on the right leader and not on the people. And we get so lost in that. And that's why when you look across the church and you see, and I'm tired of seeing failure after failure of these like star preachers. But see, that's what fame does to us. And see, a lot of times we're helping that because that's what we do. We lift up human people. We lift up the messengers instead of the one who brought the message, which is Jesus. We've got to keep our focus in the right place. Because see, ultimately, as Paul said in Ephesians 5, who's the head of the church? Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. So we've got to keep our focus on the right leader. The right leader. And so as Paul is urging this family to be together, he expands a little more than what I read initially in verse 10. But I want to go back to that verse. Because in verse 10, as he said, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters. But he said, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. We live in harmony with each other. Why? So there are no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. So we've got to be united in thought and purpose. But that comes down to, what are we focused on? Are we focused on the real enemy? Are we focused on the right leader? See, that's the question I think we need to really look at this week. And I would encourage you and challenge you in your prayer time and as you're praying about unity, that you're praying, God, who or what am I focused on? Because maybe it's been a wrong focus. Maybe it's been something in the church. Maybe it's been a physical thing, something that has changed. Maybe that's taken your focus. And this week, you need to lay that down. Because we make jokes about people fighting over the color of the carpet, the color of the paint, and all that stuff. We make jokes because those come out of real things that have happened. And in some ways, we act like, oh, yeah, that was a long time ago. No. Those same kind of things are still happening. And maybe it's a matter of we need to lay it down. And maybe it's also a matter of we need to go to somebody and say, you know what, I've been treating you like the enemy. And we need to confess that and say, I'm sorry. The way I've acted, the way I spoke to you. And maybe it's being honest, say, you know what, I maybe didn't speak to you, I spoke about you to other people. Get those things right. You see, all that hinders the unity. Bring things out into the light. Bring things out into the open. Because the fact is, we're in a fight. We are in a fight. And I know we don't like to get in fights. And as much as I told you about that fight I had in third grade, part of what I didn't tell you was Chris was a bully in my life. He had been a bully in my life. But I can tell you that one day with him became the last day he was a bully with me. And see, we've got to engage in the fight because that's what Satan wants to be. He wants to be that bully. He wants to continue to come at us. And see, that's going to take some strength. It's going to take some courage for us to call some things out. For us to humble ourselves and confess and repent where we have not been people of unity. But when we get in that fight, see, I think we're going to be able at the end to say what C.S. Lewis was hoping to say. And I love this quote. He said, my prayer is that when I die, all of hell rejoices that I am out of the fight. Is that going to be us? Is hell going to rejoice when we're not here because, oh, we don't have to deal with them anymore? See, the Bible tells us, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. We win. But right now, as we live, I don't know that we live like we're winning. See, the fight is real, but we've got to fight the right fight. And when we do, we will be won. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you have blessed us to be your people that you call the church. And Lord, that's never about place. That's never about a building. The church are the called out ones, the assembly of people who, what have we been called out of? We've been called out of darkness into light. We've been called out of sin into freedom, into grace. We've been called out of loneliness and misery to a family. God, you've called us out. And Lord, even prior to that, we were in a fight, but Jesus, we were fighting you, trying to do things our way. And Lord, I pray today that if someone, that's where they are, they're fighting you. They're still trying to be the king of their heart. They're still trying to run their life their way. I pray that today would be the day where they would just say, I'm done. Jesus, I need you. Jesus is not working. I keep trying to lead my life and I'm messing it up. And Lord, you never promised that when we surrender and get things right with you, that means life is going to be perfect. No, it's not that life's perfect. It's that now we have you to walk through us, with us through the hard. And yet we can experience joy and peace and hope in the challenges of life. But not only do we have you now, we know that in eternity when this life is over, oh, we do have everything to look forward to. And so I pray any today that today would be that day. Say, Jesus, be the king of my heart. And Lord, for those of us who made that decision a long time ago, God, we thank you. We thank you for calling us out, drawing us in, and calling us sons and daughters. But Lord, we can get so distracted, focused on the wrong things. And I pray that this would be the beginning of us saying, God, forgive us. Forgive us for getting focused on the wrong enemy. Forgive us for treating our brothers and sisters like the enemy. And that we would get right with one another. Please begin to stir a unity that we just maybe haven't known before. A unity that just permeates everything and the health of our family. That we would see do more than we could ask or think. Thank you, Jesus, for being our King. Thank you, Jesus, for being our leader. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being our God. We love you and we just ask that you guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we finish up our service today, I don't know where you are. I know what God might be saying to you, but I pray that in these moments that you reflect on it, you think about it. And if there's something right now, somebody you know that God has laid on your heart that you need to go talk to, that you would do that, whether they're here now or you need to get on the phone and say, I need to meet with you. Or if I can't meet you, I just need to talk to you. We confess and get right, because you know what? God wants you to experience freedom. And I think we miss that when we got things against a brother or sister, that's a weight on us. It's a weight on us. And see, Jesus died to set you free. And let's walk in that freedom. And so whatever decision you might have made today, please share that with us, because we want to encourage you, we want to pray for you, we want to help you in that. We've got a decision form, and I just encourage you to fill that out. And if you need prayer, we want to pray for you. We want to support you as you keep moving forward. I'll be down here. We've got some deacons available as well in the room. We want to talk to you. And so if you need someone to just share with, to pray with you, we want to do that. I just pray that we continue to encourage one another. We fight the right fight. We're in it. We're in it. So I pray that as you go this week, you go in the grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and knowing that his power will sustain you every day. May God bless you. Pray you have a great week.